All right. Well, this morning, we are talking about joy as we continue our series together. And we sing about joy, right? We just sang about joy, unspeakable joy. Or sometimes at Christmas time, we like to sing joy to the world. But what is joy? Like, what comes to mind when you hear the word joy? Is there a memory, a moment you can think of? What comes to mind when you think about joy? Or like, if somebody asked you to define it, how would you respond? What would you say? And so this morning, we're going to go on a bit of a journey. We're going to share some stories that I've experienced or that people I know have experienced. We're going to engage in the story of Mary and her joy of being told that she would be the mother of the Son of God. And we're going to try to wrestle down, like, what is this joy and how do we walk in it and experience it? So before we get into the definition, for all of you that love definitions, the biblical definition of joy, let's have a few stories that, to me, when I think about joy, capture just a little bit of the essence of what it is. So the first one, before I was a pastor here, I was a youth pastor in Campbell River, BC. And one of the youth, her mom, got cancer. And so the church got together and we prayed and prayed and prayed. And she was healed. Like, miraculously, she was healed. She went to go talk to the doctor, and he's like, yeah, we can't explain it. We don't know what's going on, but you are healed. And we were like, whoa, this is amazing. Praise God. We were all praising, celebrating, worshiping together. But that wasn't the end of the story. About 2 years later, she contracted cancer again. And it started progressing more and more to the point that the doctor said, you know what? There's actually nothing we can do. The cancer is terminal. And I remember going to the worship service that Sunday, and I remember seeing Sylvie close to the very front of the church, and I looked over at her, and I know the news that she's received. I know the suffering that she's going through, and I look over her, and at the top of her lungs, she is belting out praise to Jesus with a smile on her face. To me, that's joy. That begins to touch on what the biblical concept of joy is. Second story from my own life. Back in 2012, my wife and I and our two boys, we moved to Kenya. And about a month into our journey there, we were going there to do an international adoption, which didn't end the way we hoped, but that's another story for another day. But about a month into our time there, it was Anson, my youngest son here, it was his second birthday. And normally, you know, you think about a birthday party, you invite all your friends come, they bring you all kinds of gifts, you know, you do this. But this birthday looked a little different. This birthday, we went and joined our friends at the orphanage that they were a part of leading. And this time, Anson didn't receive the gifts, he got to give them. And we gave a meal and some gifts to these children. And these children, we had got to know them over the course of this month, and they were our friends. But the thing I remember the most is these kids. We had, like, I don't know if you've ever been to the dollar store, and they have those, like, silly hats, you know, the ones with, like, the elephant on the head or, like, lions or whatever. And all these kids are running around with these hats. And the thing is, they didn't have any gifts to give Anson or to us as a family because it was Anson's birthday. But they had their smiles and their laughter and their presence, and it was an incredible birthday. And I just think to myself, when I think back and the smiles and just the being together in the presence of God together and celebrating together and just thinking like, this is a little taste of what joy is. And so these are two stories that I think about when I think about what is joy. But the biblical definition, if we want to go into that, it sounds like this. It says, joy is a deep inner gladness and contentment rooted in God's presence, promises and goodness distinct from worldly fleeting happiness. So that's what it means. So it's not just the emotion of being happy, which comes and goes, which is fleeting. This is like a deep-seated thing, and we're going to get into a little bit about what that looks like as we explore the story, the part of the Christmas story of Mary, the mother of Jesus. But before we get into her story, we need a little bit of a backstory. So first, Mary is about to go visit her cousins, Elizabeth, all right? And she has a husband named Zachariah. So who was Zachariah? Well, Zachariah was a priest, and it happened to be his turn to go and serve before the altar of the Lord. And as he does, an angel meets him and tells him, hey, I know you're advanced in age, but your wife, Elizabeth, is going to have a child. And his reaction is essentially like, yeah, but she's old. How's this going to happen? And the angel says, well, because you didn't believe me, you aren't going to be able to speak until this child is born. Okay, so this is Zachariah. And his wife, Elizabeth, she is well advanced in age. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but clearly she was well past the age that someone normally gives birth. Now, in the culture of that day, to be married, especially for that long and not have a child, it was kind of looked down upon. People kind of looked at your life and said, oh, it must have been some kind of sin they did or something. Like, there's some reason why they can't have a child. Like, it brought a lot of shame and a lot of pain to not have a child in that day and age. And yet, now she's promised this child, and this child is actually growing in her when her cousin Mary comes to visit. And it says that actually the child leapt for joy in the womb. Like, you know, I don't know if you've ever felt a stomach when the baby kicks, but it's like that, like a jump, like leapt. She could feel that the baby, when hearing Mary's voice, leapt inside her. And who was Mary? Well, Mary was a very young woman. It says that she was a virgin, and she was betrothed to a man named Joseph. And now all of a sudden, she is pregnant with a child. And that is something in that culture that just was taboo. You do not get pregnant before you're married. So again, someone who's facing some ostracism, people are looking down on her. People are like, oh man, what was she doing? Because, you know, try telling that as an excuse. Oh no, I promise you, I'm impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Like, people weren't buying that, right? Most people weren't listening to that. They were like, okay, Mary, yeah, good one. Tell us another one. And so this is Mary, but she was also very humble, and an angel comes to her and tells her that this is going to happen, that she is going to be the mother of the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Son of God. And as she goes and she meets with her cousin and she tells the story, she breaks out into song. She breaks out into this song, this rejoiceful song to God for choosing her to be the one that would give birth to the Son of God. So we're going to read it together. It's in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 46. And it says this: my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. So, after reading that together, I want to review. What are some of the reasons we see in Mary's song about why she rejoices? Well, the first one that I notice right away is she rejoices because God is her Savior. She recognizes who God is, first of all, but then second of all, she recognizes who she is because of who God is to her. So she recognizes, hey, God is Savior, and specifically, God is my Savior, and that affects my identity. I'm secure. I am loved. I am treasured. God is my Savior. He was willing to save me. So this is something I want us to recognize about joy. It's deep-seated, and part of why it's deep-seated is because it has to do with our very identity that we experience when we say yes to Jesus as our Savior, when we say yes to God and invite him into our lives. The Spirit comes and lives within us and becomes part of who we are, and we feel secure in walking in that relationship with God, and that brings us this joy that can withstand the hard things that life will inevitably throw at us. Well, what's the second reason? The second reason Mary rejoices, she rejoices because God chose her. The God of the universe that created everything chose her. Of all people, she says she was deep, she talks about being humbled. She's like, I mean, of all the women that you could have chosen, God, you chose me. She's like, she's blown away that God would do this, that God would choose her for this special mission. And I want to encourage you, God also chooses you. He also has a call on your life. It'll look different than Mary's, just like it'll look different than mine. But he has a call on each of your lives. He wants to use you to do incredible things to build his kingdom, things that matter, that have eternal consequence. He wants to choose you to be a part of joining him in his mission. Mary rejoices because God chose her. Thirdly, she rejoices because of the things God has done and the things God will do. And we can probably, those of us that have walked with God for some time, we can probably think back about all the things God has done. Rob and Marlene were just sharing that God has done incredible things all through their journey in their time in Mongolia. And if we think about the 65 years that Westwood has been a church, God has done, no doubt, some incredible things. We've sent missionaries to the other side of the world. We've seen ministries that have impacted people's lives. We had Oasis Ministry up here this morning as part of lighting our Advent candle, and that has impacted many people in our community, and they've come to Christ. Our youth ministry has had a significant impact on so many people's lives all throughout the years, right? And we could go on and on and on and list so many different ways that God has done incredible things And many of you, if we asked you to come up here and give testimony, you could share so many things about how what God has done in your life so far. But Mary doesn't just celebrate what God has done. She has this hope, this anticipation of what he will do. Because she's promised that now she is going to be the mother of the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and she's anticipating the incredible thing that God is about to do through the Son that she is about to give birth to. And she rejoices about that. She has hope in that. She has joy in that. She is looking forward to seeing what God is going to do. One of the incredible things about Christmas, if you have kids or you've been around kids at Christmas time, the closer you get to Christmas, they're just like buzzing, almost vibrating, right? Like they just can't wait to Christmas. They just have like this anticipation and this joy in them starts to grow, and they're excited that Christmas is coming. And I feel like joy is a little bit like that, right? When we think, man, I know God is about to do something. I know moving forward in my life that I'm going to be part of God doing incredible things in my life, in the life of people around me, in the life of our church. And we have this anticipation, and it brings joy because we're like, wow, I cannot wait to see what God is going to do. Just like the kids are thinking, wow, I cannot wait to see what's inside those gifts that are wrapped under the tree. There's this anticipation that is a part of joy because we have hope that God, just as God has done amazing things, he will continue to do amazing things. But here's the thing about Mary. We've read the rest of the story, or many of us have. The rest of the story, is Mary's life always wonderful and great? Does everything just go swimmingly after that? No. I mean, what happens after this? Well, they have to go on a long journey to another city. She has to give birth and put her baby in a manger, of all places. And then she has to flee to Egypt because there's some crazy king who wants to kill Jesus, right? And then she gets to watch her boy grow up only to see him as a man, be brutally beaten, tortured, and crucified on a cross. Here's the thing about being chosen by God. It so often means that one at the same time, we experience the joy, the crown of joy, getting, for Mary, it was being the mother of the Savior of the world. But that also came with this cross of sorrow. I can't even imagine, as a parent, watching my son be brutally murdered in front of my eyes. The pain that she must have felt in her heart. But this is, life is so often like this, right? The scriptures don't tell us that, hey, if you follow Jesus, your life will just be perfect. Everything will be up and to the right. And oh man, all the good things that are going to happen is going to be nothing but good and sunshine and butterflies, right? That's what we've all experienced, right? No? Huh, me either. In fact, scripture says, hey, you're going to face trials and maybe even more of them because you follow Jesus. In fact, James says, hey, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. He doesn't say if. He says when you face trials of many kinds. Because here's the thing, church. We live in a broken world. And we are imperfect people in a broken world. And so no doubt we will experience the pain and the challenge and the suffering and the hardship that life will inevitably throw at us. But even as we wade through that storm, we can have this deep-seated joy because we know who we are, and we know, in the end, good and joy and love wins the day. And that one day, we get to go be with this incredible Jesus. And not only that, but in the meantime, his Spirit lives within us and is doing a work in us, transforming us and assuring in us that we are deeply loved and valued. See, I think Jesus came not to make life easy, but to make people great, to make us a new creation, changing us, transforming who we are, right? The fruit of the Spirit that lives within us, one of them is joy, transforming us to be joyful people, hopeful people, loving people. As we look to Jesus, our example, as Hebrews 12 says, it says, let us run the race of life it's talking about, marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy, there it is, the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus is our example. He knew he was going to the cross. Even in the face of the cross, he said, I will go through this suffering because I know the joy of conquering death. I know that this is all in God's plan and that he works all things for good. And so I will walk through this for the sake of what God is doing, because God has a bigger picture. And knowing that our lives are part of this bigger picture, this bigger, greater thing that he is doing, gives us joy. Because joy comes from identity, and it comes from the assurance of hope that we will be with Jesus forever. Joy is deeply rooted in hope. The two are very closely linked. Because here's the reality. If we choose to base our life, and many, many people do it, chasing the emotion of happiness, you will ride the emotional roller coaster of life without much contentment. It'll always be looking for that next thing, the next thing I can buy, that'll make me happy. The next experience I can have, surely that will make me happy. The next person that I can establish a friendship with, surely that will make me happy. But you just keep chasing, and it never, that contentment just somehow eludes you. However, if you base your life on living out of the things God asks you, there is a deep, satisfying sense that your life was part of something much bigger and meaningful. That has been my experience. My life has not always been easy. I've faced challenges, hardships, like all of you. But one thing I can promise you, it hasn't been boring. It's been an adventure following Jesus, an incredible adventure. And young people, if you're like, is this Jesus thing worth it? I promise you it is. It'll be the adventure of your life. I have gone and done things I never imagined as a teenager I would ever do. I've gone to countries and been part of things that I just was not even on my radar as like a small town country farmer kid. Like, God has blown my mind, the things he's done in and through my life. Like, sometimes when I stop and take stock of it, I'm like, me? Really? You took me and did that through my life? Wow. And I was just a normal person. I'm still just a normal person, and God does these things because that's the business of God. That's the nature of God. He takes people and transforms them and does things that go beyond what they ever imagined he could do in and through their lives. And here's the best part. Your reward for saying yes to Jesus and walking with him in life, your reward will be life with the very one who created you, both in this life because his spirit comes and resides in you, but also for all of eternity. In the new heaven and the new earth, where there'll be no more weeping, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more suffering. Just joy of being in the presence of Jesus all the time. So, will you choose the way of Jesus? Will you say yes to him and walk in this way of life, this way of joy? If you've never done this, I would encourage you today, like, come have a conversation with myself. I would love to pray with you and just be part of that journey of you saying yes to Jesus. If you'd like to do that today, I'll be available. For those of you who have been walking with Jesus for a while, I have a second question for you. What invitation is the Holy Spirit leading you into to cultivate joy in your heart? Because if joy is more of a perspective, if you will, if it's based in and rooted in identity and it's based in contentment, then I believe you can actually begin to cultivate it. Because what we so easily do, I mean, there's a billion-dollar industry called the news that goes down this route, right? What we can easily do is fixate on the negative, fixate on the hardship, the struggle, the challenge. We can fixate on that, and it will steal you of your joy. It'll rob you of your joy. Or we can choose, as Hebrews said, to fix our eyes on Jesus and what he's doing and the blessings that we have in Christ. A few weeks ago, I got to have the incredible privilege of being a part of the memorial of Gary Guernsey. And as a part of that, I got to sit with Betty, and she just shared about Gary's life with me in preparation for the message that I would give at the memorial. And one of the things that she said to me, it blew my mind, because Gary was a person that knew how to cultivate joy. And it was evidenced by this. He had this degenerative disease that it had taken away his ability to walk, and he could barely speak anymore. And so he often communicated through a tablet. And one time he communicated this, and it's so beautiful and exemplifies this so perfectly. He said, "The gains I have in Christ far outweigh my losses." Powerful. Powerful. Especially given his circumstances. This is what he said. "The gains I have in Christ far outweigh my losses." So, with that in mind, what will you do this Christmas season to cultivate joy, to choose to fix your eyes on the things that God has done, who you are in Christ, the things he has done, and the things he will do in and through your life? And if you do this, you'll be a person who more and more begins to exude joy. Let's pray together, and then the worship team is going to come, and let's sing joyfully the worship song together. Okay? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for who you are and what you have done for us, God. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that comes and lives within us. I pray that you would help us through your Spirit to fix our eyes on who you are and what you've done and who we are in you, so that we might begin to cultivate more and more your deep-seated joy in our hearts. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.